Praise God for His convicting Holy Spirit. Amen. Please open your Bibles this morning, if you would, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12 today. We're just getting going, second week in our new series. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Christians ought to be giving people. We ended last week's sermon by reminding you of one of the verses that most of you have known since you were little, John 3:16. Do you guys remember what it says? Can you say it out loud together? Most of you did really, really well. And now you know what it's like for me up here when I try to quote scriptures. And you're like, I know what that says, but the words aren't coming sometimes. He says that He loved us so much that He gave. Amen. He gave. Christ was a giver. He gave everything. He gave His life on Calvary. He gave His precious blood. He gave everything so that you could be saved. And when you're born of the Spirit of God by repenting of your sins and put your faith in Jesus, you're born again into the family of God. God's put something in you, and because you belong to Him, you are, by the new nature, you ought to be a giver. Christians ought to be generous people. We ought to be giving people. And we give to the Lord by giving to others in need. We give to the Lord by giving to Him through the church. Now, the church is the storehouse and of this age, the church age. And when you give your offering, you're not giving it to the preacher. You're not even really giving it to the church. What you're doing is giving it to the Lord through the church. And it's really important that you understand that. Especially when I preach these messages, some of you, you just see the word give and you get all uptight about it. And you think the preacher's just begging for money and all of that other nonsense. I'm just here to tell you what the Bible says today. And I want to admonish you to understand that we ought to have a heart to give. Now, people sometimes have a hard time having a heart to give. And some of you, how many of you remember Paul Harvey? Yeah, me and Paul, we go way back. No, there are recordings, though. One of the stories that Paul Harvey told was there was a lady who had called into the Butterball Turkey Hotline. How many of you remember Butterball Turkeys? Remember those? They're still around in some places. Well, she called into the Butterball Turkey Hotline because she found in the bottom of her deep freeze a turkey that had been in her deep freeze for 23 years. 23 years. And she called them and wanted to know if it would be safe to eat. And they said, well, ma'am, if that turkey has been at 0 degrees Fahrenheit or below for those 23 years, then it is probably safe for human consumption. But it probably won't taste very good. She said, well, that's okay. I'll just give it to the church. Yeah, some of you want to laugh, but you know it's not really funny. That's the way a lot of people's hearts are towards giving to the Lord. If they have something that they've got, and maybe it's not trash, but they just kind of want to get rid of it, then we just give it to the church. And can I just admonish you today that our heart for giving to the Lord and giving through His church ought to be vastly different than that? God deserves our very best. I want you to know today, and I appreciated this. I heard in a message a while back about tithes and offerings, and some of you want to debate me about whether Christians ought to tithe today or not and how tithes aren't in the New Testament. That's okay. We can have that debate if you want to, but I'll say this. It'd be a shame to give less under grace in the New Testament than what was required in the law under the Old Testament. But I think tithes are still a baseline. I think that biblical principle precedes the law. I think it goes beyond the law. The tithe is not just something you ought to, it's not really an offering to the Lord. It's not giving to the Lord. You pay your tithes because the tithe is the Lord's. Amen. The scriptures tell us plainly the tithe is the Lord's. And really, until you meet that baseline, you've not even begun to give. Now that may be kind of hard for some of you to hear today, but I want to tell you that not only are we robbing God when we don't pay our tithes and give our offerings, but we are robbing ourselves of great blessings. And so you're going to be challenged today and in this series to give. To give. Now, our theme for the year is simplicity. And we don't want to be removed away from the simplicity that is in Christ. In other words, it's Jesus Christ. It's Him alone. But this word simplicity, we learned way back in January, over 9 months ago now, we learned that this simplicity has a lot of different meanings, and we're going to look at some scriptures that have this word in it today. So if you're able, let's stand together. Romans chapter 12, we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Are you ready to learn about giving from God's word today? Amen. All right, well, for the rest of you, I hope you'll get ready. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When you consider all that God has done for you, when you consider what Christ has given for you, when you consider that Christ took filthy, dirty Gentiles like me and brought us into His kingdom, it's only reasonable that we would give our lives back to Jesus. Amen? Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants you to give your body to Him as a sacrifice and live for Him. And He wants you to give your mind to Him. He wants your mind to be renewed so that you're not doing your will, but you're doing God's will. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we look into your word today, there's so many great truths that we need to get today, that we need to live out in your church. And I just pray that you convict our hearts, that you give us understanding and teach us by your Spirit. Father, I pray that you'd help me to preach by the power of your Spirit today and guide me in every word, that I would say it exactly as you'd have me to, with the right heart. And Lord, I pray that if there's one among us who's never been a partaker of your amazing and wonderful grace, I pray today they would repent of their sin and unbelief. They put their faith in Christ alone and call on your name and be born again. I pray for the saved, they'd follow you in baptism and serve you in this local church. And I pray for all that are in the church that we would seek out the gifts that you've given to us, that we would develop them, and that we would deploy them in your service week by week, day by day, as we live out this grace that you've given to us. Please give us hearts to give out of gratitude for all that you've given to us. We know every good and perfect gift comes from you, Father, and we pray that we would turn it back to you in service for your glory and to further your kingdom. Please bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our theme for the year is simplicity, and these next few weeks we're going to be talking about giving, and it's of note to look in verse 8 here in chapter 12 that he talks about both of these things. He says, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And so we're going to learn a little bit about this giving, but I wanted to start with verse 1 because it's important that we understand what's going on. In chapter 11 of Romans, he's talking to the Gentiles, the Roman believers, the Gentile believers. You have the Jews, God's chosen people, and then you have the Gentiles. And God sent the gospel to the Jew first. And because they rejected the gospel, because of their unbelief, God's grace was extended beyond the Jews to all the world. And so because of their unbelief, God has given grace to us to believe today. And God's grace is bestowed on all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it comes. The grace of God comes to all who believe. It's grace. It's God's unmerited favor. It's what God gives us. It's not something that we could earn. It's not by works, but it's only by His grace. And because God has given you grace, you ought to give your life to Jesus Christ. In verse 1, he says you need to give your bodies. Your bodies are to be given as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I would argue with you today that it's important for everyone who comes to Christ ought to count the cost, and they ought to understand that Jesus isn't just some spiritual fire escape to get you out of hell, but Jesus Christ is, in fact, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and He is the Lord of your life by you coming to Him for salvation. And we ought to live as though Jesus Christ is King in our lives. Now, unfortunately, most people come to Jesus by faith, they're born again, salvation is the miracle of a moment, and it takes a process of sanctification, and some of us, it takes far too long for us to get to a place where we understand Jesus doesn't just want my heart, He wants my whole life. But every one of us as believers need to come to a place where we say, listen, I'm all in. I'm all in. Jesus gave everything for me, and I'm going to give everything for Him. He's got my heart, He's got my mind, He's got my soul, He's got my body, He's got my mind, He's got my home, He's got my pocketbook, He's got my job, He's got my hobbies, He's got my relationships. My whole life belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen. Everybody with me today? Amen. Listen, we've got to come to a place where we stop treating Jesus as just some kind of genie in the bottle that we want to come to when things get rough and we want to get Him to grant our wishes. And we need to understand that He is the Lord of glory. And we want to give our lives to Him, our bodies to Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse 5, it says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Listen, these believers who were giving out of their poverty, they gave a great amount. Well, they did it, but only after they'd given themselves to the Lord. Let me help you out today. I hope that everybody who's a part of this church, listen, I'm not talking to people outside of our church right now. I'm talking to our members of Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. Listen, everybody that's a member of this church ought to give to the Lord through the church. Everybody that's a member of the church ought to give to the Lord through the church. If you're not a member here and you want to give to the Lord through this church, praise God, you can do that. But that's not required. We don't expect that of you. But if you're a member here, you ought to give. Now, some can give a lot and some can give a little, but everyone ought to give some. Amen. All right. But I want you to understand that God is far more interested in your heart than He is in the amount of money you put in a plate each week. And until you give yourself to the Lord, those tithes and offerings are not going to be blessed by God. Amen. We need to give ourselves to the Lord. Our bodies belong to Him. Jesus Christ didn't just purchase your spirit, He purchased all of you. We ought to honor Him and serve Him in our spirit and in our bodies, because we're bought with a price. We belong to Him. Our bodies are to be given as a living sacrifice. We ought to give up our fleshly desires. We ought to give up our fleshly things that we want to do and accomplish. The things that we're after, we need to lay those aside. And we do that by giving our mind to the Lord. Our mind is to be given to the Lord to be transformed to the will of God. Look at verse 2. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." How many of you understand today that when you got saved, God made you a new creature? You understand that when you were born again, you're not who you used to be? The Spirit of God lives in you, and you're not who you once were. God has made you a new creature in Christ. And I want you to get this. It's really important. When He says, "Be not conformed to this world," what He's saying is, don't pretend to be something you're not. Don't try to put yourself back in a mold that you don't fit in anymore. When we go back and live like the world, when we go back and live like we used to be before we were saved, what we're doing is pretending to be something that we're not. Listen, if you're born again, the Spirit of God lives in you. You're a new creature in Christ. You are born after the Spirit of God. His Spirit lives in you, and He wants to guide you and lead you and make you new. All things are to become new. And when you start running with the old crowd and doing what the old crowd does and seeing what the old crowd sees and listening to what the old life listened to, when you go back into that, you're conforming yourself to this world. You're pretending to be something you're not. You're masquerading. And what you're doing is putting yourself back into a mold that you don't fit in anymore. In other words, somebody who's really born again, a Christian who's living like the world, is really a fake. You're fake. That's not who you are. Don't be conformed to this world. But what? Be renewed by the transforming of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This word transformed is metamorphosis, and we is where we get the word metamorphosis from. And you guys all know the classic example of that butterfly, right? Ugly little caterpillar makes a cocoon, and then something happens inside of there, and then it comes out as something completely different. And that's exactly what God wants to do in your life. Scientists tell us that caterpillar has two completely different sets of DNA. And when it makes that cocoon, the caterpillar DNA dies and the butterfly DNA thrives. And when we continue to be like the old man and do the old things and go back to the worldly ways, we're allowing that old nature to stick around when God calls us to cause that old man to die. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. The old man has to die so the new man can thrive. Listen to me. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't straddle the fence. You can't keep putting one foot back in the world, back into your old life, and do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have to make up your mind that I'm willing to die. That the old life is going to die. The old man is going to die. Those old relationships are going to have to die so that I can thrive for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, friends, some of you are still trying to do both, and you're going to be miserable as long as you do. But I promise you, when you wake up one day and you say, I'm done. I'm done with the old man. I'm done with the old ways. I'm done with the old life. I'm done with the world. I'm going to die to all of that so that I can live for Jesus Christ. You are going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and your life will prove, it will demonstrate what is good and acceptable and is the perfect will of God. Amen. Your life can have an impact for the kingdom of Christ if you'll just die to the old man and let your mind be changed. And He wants to do that through His Word, through His Spirit, day by day. Our bodies are to be given. Our mind is to be given. And then God has given gifts to us to use for His service. I want you to look with me at verse 3 again. I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And God has given us faith. Faith is a gift from God. And we need to have a right mind when we look at ourselves. When you look into the Word of God, it's like a mirror. And it'll show you who you really are. We look into the Word of God and see exactly where we are. And we've got to understand that whatever we're going to do for the Lord in His church, we're going to do by faith. Verse 4 says, For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Look around. Look around. Seriously, look. Can you turn your head? If you've got a crick in your neck, just turn your shoulders. When you look around this room, you see a lot of different people, members that are different. We're not the same. We don't have the same office, or we don't have the same role in the body, but we're all members of one body in Christ. Amen. This local church is the body of Christ, and each one of us have different roles to play. We're not the same. It's no different than your body. You got toes, and you got a foot, and you got hands, and you got fingers, you got eyes and ears and nose and mouth. You got all the different parts that make you up, but it's all one body. And that's the picture that he gives us of the church. And it takes all of those members working together to do what the body's supposed to do. Amen. Some of you have had surgeries and different things. Somebody broke Joe Henry's leg at camp this year. It wasn't me. This time. He's going through some physical therapy to get that leg to work right again, and that's going really well. But when that doesn't work right, it messes everything else up. And the same thing happens in the church. Every member's supposed to be doing what that member's supposed to be doing. And God has given us abilities. He's given us gifts in the church to use to function together as a church. I want you to look at it in verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, when you study your Bible and you see the word prophecy or prophesy, I want you to pay attention to the context, because it can mean one of two things. Sometimes prophecy means to foretell the future. Back in the days of the apostles in the early church, there were men who had the miraculous ability to know the future. God would reveal it to them, and they could tell what was going to happen. Other times in Scripture, the word prophecy or prophesy means just to foretell the Word of God. It's what we call preaching. When you take what God has said and you proclaim it, that's prophesying. What I'm attempting to do in front of you right now is to prophesy. I'm taking what God has revealed, and I'm trying to proclaim it so that you can understand it and apply it to your life. Everybody with me? This means yes. This means no. And you guys all remember, this means I'm praying for you, brother. I appreciate all the prayers in the room today. Thank you. God has called some. There are gifts differing. Some have been called to preach. Some have been called to preach. I have hope in my heart, and I pray every week that God would call men in this church to the gospel ministry. That there would be men in this church that would give their lives to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says, ministry. Let us wait on our ministry. God has gifted some people with just a heart to serve. And he says, if God's given you that gift and that special desire to minister, to serve others, then do it. Don't think about it. Don't talk about it. Don't just plan about it, but actually do it. Wait on it. In other words, exercise that act of serving. Next is teaching. He that teacheth on teaching. God has gifted certain people in our church with the ability to teach others. And if God's called you to that, he's gifted you in that, then you ought to use that gift to teach the Word of God. Next is exhortation. God has gifted some people with the gift of exhortation. I want to tell you that I really believe that God has gifted everybody in the church with a portion of each of these. I believe God wants all of us to proclaim the truth of God's Word. Right? You look at it. God's gifted all of us to a certain degree with these different gifts. But some are gifted more than others in certain areas. I believe that God has given us all the gift of exhortation to a degree, and some people have it more than others. I'll confess to you, I think some of you have this gift more than I do. I'm not very encouraging sometimes. I really want to be. I preach a message, and I think it's really encouraging, and people walk away a little depressed. It's not really my goal. But some of you are very encouraging people. And God has given you the gift that when you talk to somebody, it just builds them up. And when God's given you that, then you ought to use that for the glory of God in the church. And the next thing I want you to see is this giving. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Very quickly, let me round out the list. ruleth, he that ruleth with diligence. We would use the word administration. God has called some to administer, to rule, or to guide. Certainly as your pastor, I ought to have that gift and use that gift. There are others who have that gift as well. And we ought to be diligent in administering and ruling. And then he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. There, God's just given some of you a heart of mercy. I mean, everybody ought to have mercy and compassion on others, but some of you just have a really tender heart where you really love other people, and you ought to cheerfully love other people and show mercy and kindness and grace to people. But let's go back to giving and talk about it just for a moment. He says, give, do it with simplicity. It means with singleness. It means with purity. It means with integrity. To give with simplicity means to do it without any hint of selfishness. A lot of people want to give because they think they're going to get something back. They give because they think if I give, then I'll get something in return. This isn't that kind of message. Amen. You could have stayed home and watched that fellow on TV. We don't give for what we get back. We give with simplicity, with singleness of heart. Our heart is not to give so we can get something. Our heart is to give. Because we love people and because we love the Lord, we want to give to help meet people's needs. We want to give to be a blessing to others. We want to give to see the work of Christ furthered at home and around the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. He's writing about the churches of Macedonia. He said they had great poverty, but they had a heart to give. And they gave themselves to the Lord. And because they'd given themselves to the Lord, they took out of their poverty and they gave liberally. This is the same word as simplicity. The simplicity and liberality. They gave abundantly. They had a vision. They had a purpose. They had a single heart in giving. They wanted to help the people of God. They gave with simplicity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, would you look at it with me? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 9, 11. We'll read down through verse 14. He says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints or the need of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayers for you which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. I want you to look at verse 11. He said, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. This is our word, simplicity. I want you to look down at verse 13. He says, liberal distribution unto them. This again is that word simplicity. And I just want you to see that the admonition that the Word of God gives us is to give with simplicity, liberality, bountifulness. And not only is it the admonishment that we see, but it's the example that we see. These churches, no matter how poor they were, they gave bountifully, they gave liberally, they gave abundantly, they gave with simplicity to the work of God. Some of you may think, I don't have enough to give. These churches of Macedonia, they didn't have to give. But they didn't let that be an excuse not to give. They gave above and beyond what they could anyway. I just want to tell you, friends, we're without excuse. This business of giving to the work of the Lord, giving to the Lord through the church, giving to missions, giving to building buildings so that we can see the church grow. All of these things that we would call you to give to, I want you to understand that when you are challenged to give, the faith to give is where the key is going to be at. Whether you really believe God is able or not. So you might say, well, Brother Isaac, you said some people are gifted to giving, and obviously I don't feel like I have that gift, so I'm not required to give. Just in case anybody's thinking that today, I'd like to invite you to turn right there in 2 Corinthians 9. If you're there, go back to verse 6. Are only those who are specially gifted, are they the only ones that are required to give? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly." In other words, if you sow a little bit of seed, you're only going to get a little bit of crop. "He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Amen. If you sow a lot of seed, then you'll get a lot of crop in return. "Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." You say, "Well, Brother Isaac, I don't think I've got the gift of giving, so I shouldn't give." My Bible says in verse 7, "Every man, let him give." Amen. Everyone is to give. Well, how do I do it? As you purpose in your heart. You ought to have a purpose in your heart to give. What does that mean? Well, you ought to pray about it. You ought to seek God's face. Lord, how much should I give today? How much should I give every week? How much should I give to the church? How much should I give to missions? How much should I give to the building fund? How much should I give? And you ought to get a purpose in your heart. And when you get that purpose in your heart, you ought to give not grudgingly. Listen, when the ushers come by passing the plate, it ought not be hard for you to let go. Seen somebody like that? They're probably not going to take it from you. I've never seen Brother Kenny wrestling somebody's check out of their hand. Listen, don't give grudgingly. If you can't give with a cheerful heart, then just don't give. God's not going to bless you, but just don't give. He's not going to bless you when you give grudgingly. Don't give grudgingly. Don't give of necessity. Don't give because you feel like you have to. Listen, everyone in the church ought to give, but you shouldn't give grudgingly, and you certainly shouldn't give because you feel like you have no choice. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. What do you have that wasn't given to you? Can you think about it for a second? What do you have that wasn't given to you? You say, "Well, nobody gave me my house. I had to go to work. I had to pay the bank so they'd let me live in it. I earned it." But who gave you the ability to get up and go to work? Amen. Friend, everything that we have has been given to us. Amen. Everything that we have is a gift. It's a grace from God, so let's not act like it's not grace. Let's understand that it is grace. You say, "Well, Brother Isaac, I know I ought to give, but I just can't afford to." Can't afford to. I want you to look at verse 8. This is where faith comes in. Can you just read these three words out loud with me? God is able. Read that with me again. God is able. Do you believe that? You believe God is able? Is there anything that he can't do? Well, he can't lie. We know that. He's bound by his own holiness, but listen, God is able. Amen. God is able. You're worried about paying the bills or you're worried about whatever. God is able. What's he able to do? Make all grace abound towards you. So he'll give you all grace. So what? So that ye always having all sufficiency in all things. Did he leave anything out? I say I can't afford to give. But God says, I'm able. And I'm able to give you always. Never a time that he can't supply. All sufficiency. Everything that you need. In all things. In every area of your life. God's not always going to give you everything you want, friends, but if you give to him, he'll make sure you always have everything you need. So that you may abound to every good work. Some of us are afraid to give to God. You remember Jesus was over at the treasury. Mark chapter 12, there was a certain poor widow, and she threw two mites, which made a farthing. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Verily I say unto you that this poor woman, this poor widow, hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Friends, we are without excuse when it comes to giving. Amy Carmichael said, "You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving." Amen. We consider what Jesus Christ has done for us. We can do nothing but love him. And if we love him, then we're going to have a heart to give to him. This morning, as we prepare for a verse of invitation, I'll just ask you to stand with me, please. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Give to the Lord through the church. Give to the work of the Lord done by the churches. Every member of this church ought to give. But you shouldn't give because you know you have to, because you know you're supposed to. You ought to give because you want to. You see, when we give our little bit, our little percentage of what God's given to us, when we give that percentage, what we're doing is acknowledging that it all belongs to God. It's all his. I want to just challenge you today that you would give. If you're not giving, that you would start giving. And that if you've been giving, that you would pray about what you're giving and purpose in your heart to give what God wants you to. Trust him to provide for all your needs. But I want to tell you this today. We're talking about all this giving, and I know it's not the kind of stuff a lot of you want to hear, but I want you to understand this. What's this all motivated by? We started at the beginning of chapter 12, so that you would understand, we're giving ourselves to God because Jesus Christ gave himself to us. All of this idea of giving, it all comes on the heels of what Jesus did for you. That's the whole point. Amen. And if you've never been born again, then none of it matters. You need to accept the free gift of grace that God has offered to you. You need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ today by faith in him. If you've never been born again, I want you to understand Jesus gave everything so you could be saved. And you can turn from your sin today. You can put your faith in Christ, and he will give you eternal life. Amen. Then, and only then, will you understand what it means to give and have the right heart to give. If the Lord's convicting your heart this morning, will you come as we sing?
Thanks, Bob.